Hello, welcome to 633 Discipleship Podcast.
Have you ever watched a baby that's just growing into the toddler stage, who's learning to pull him or herself up into a standing position? You know, he grabs the sofa or a chair and gets onto his knees and then heaves with all his little might until his feet are under him and he's upright. The look of triumph, of joy, of delight, and there's that glint in his eyes. Aren't I clever? Then the next stage is for mummy or daddy to hold out a finger as he totters there unsteadily, and having learned in time to let go of that sofa, mummy says, "Come on then." And with little finger beckoning to little William, she expects that soon he'll reach out towards her and take that first crucial step into the unknown. That finger beckons and beckons, assuring him it'll be all right when he does. And eventually, courage is gathered up, and with that amazing smile and courageous step, toddlerhood begins. Well, when we consider what it means for us to be disciples of Jesus, it isn't really all that different. We talk a lot about following Jesus, but actually it starts before that, and it starts with Jesus, doesn't it? In Matthew 11 and verse 28, we hear Jesus say these words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Come to me. Before we start to follow, there's a call from Jesus to come. Actually, that's the reason you first got to know him, though you may not have realized it at the time. You see, the initiative is always with Jesus. Jesus calls us to come to him. Come is the call of discipleship, whilst following is our response. Remember when Jesus spoke to those earliest disciples and said, "Follow me." Think about Matthew, sat perhaps near one of the gates of Jerusalem, taking the taxes from people entering, and Jesus called, "Come, follow me." This Jewish man, in league with the hated Romans, collecting their taxes, heard a word and perhaps felt he saw a beckoning finger that encouraged him to stand and step out to follow Jesus. Similarly, Andrew and Simon, James and John, heard the word, fishing there at the side of the lake, fixing, repairing their nets, heard the word, and as it were, saw the same beckoning finger and stepped out to follow. A come from Jesus is the call of discipleship. Whilst at the end of his ministry, when he commissions his disciples to take on his ministry to the world, he says, "Go." But there's never a go without first a come. You see, the Jews knew that their law drove them to perform all sorts of rituals, acts of penitence, works and duties and sacrifices to ensure they were acceptable to God. Though a careful reading of the Old Testament shows that that is a travesty of what God was really looking for from them. But the law, in Jesus' day, drove them forward to perform. Sometimes, it seems, even our Christianity today and how it's portrayed can appear a force that drives us to perform. But really, it starts with a call to come. Jesus always calls us to him to be near. And as we are near, so to become like him. It's only in this way that the commission to go can possibly be pursued. Charles Spurgeon, a Baptist minister from 150 years ago, wrote this: "The law was a dispensation of terror which drove men before it as with a scourge. The gospel draws with bands of love. Jesus is the good shepherd, he goes on, going before his people, bidding them follow him, and ever leading them onwards with the sweet word, come. The law repels, the gospel attracts. The law shows the distance which there is between God and man. The gospel bridges that awful chasm and brings the sinner across it. What great words from so long ago. When the Magi, the wise men, came to King Herod asking where the newborn king was, he asked the Jewish scholars for advice. They said this, quoting from the prophecy of Micah in chapter 5, "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." The context of this prophecy is of Israel facing an invader in their country. And their salvation is to come in the form of one who will be a shepherd of his people. In those days, good kings were often considered as shepherds of people rather than merely as rulers or as tyrants. The good news of Jesus is the call to come into relationship with him and to walk life together with him. It's the beckoning finger of Jesus and the call of his voice, come on then. Jesus will always be ahead of you, beckoning you onwards, wanting you to be as successful at walking the walk as that mum or dad with their little toddler standing holding onto the sofa. Jesus says again, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke's easy and my burden is light. Sometimes, you know, as Christians, we're wearied by our apparent failure to keep it up. Can I suggest that what we most fail at is, as the old TV program had it, keeping up appearances? Jesus doesn't ask us to keep up appearances. He asks us to hear his come and follow and to step out into that. He walks ahead of us as a good shepherd would with his sheep. And when we fall flat on our faces, like that toddler almost inevitably will at times, Jesus is still just ahead with his finger out beckoning to us, saying, come on then, willing to pick us up and let us rest in him, trusting his strength again and moving out once more with him. The yoke across our shoulders is also across his, reminding us that we're called to partner with him in the process of being disciples. We're not here to go it alone and do our own thing, trying to be successful at it. Jesus is incredibly gentle with us. He knows our humanity, he's experienced it himself, and he knows how prone we are to falling over. He doesn't use his finger to wag at us, scolding and judging, but beckoning and encouraging us to keep on following. I like to think that we can't fail at being disciples. We can still fall at times when we follow, but we can't fail so long as we stay close to him, in relationship with him, keeping him in our sights, as the toddler does his parent. Let me quote Charles Spurgeon again. He says, he, Jesus, will always go before you to pave your way and clear your path, and you will hear his animating voice calling you after him all through life. That gentle, encouraging word of Jesus, come, is the universal call of true discipleship. Keep him in your sights, in your mind's eye as a frequent thought through the day, in the eyes of your heart as the love of your life. And you will learn to walk with him at his pace, in his way, until your life is caught up into his, in his presence, forevermore. Come to me, all of you. If you're weary and burdened, come. I'll give you rest. Come to me and take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke, which is the yoke that you share with me, it's across both of our shoulders, is easy, and my burden is light. And the reason for that is that Jesus carries it with us and so often for us. Keep Jesus in your sights. In your mind's eye as a frequent thought, in the eyes of your heart as the love of your life, and learn to walk with him at his pace and in his way all of your life. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that all of our failings and our failures are forgiven. You have forgiven them, past, present, and future. You hold nothing against us. You are looking for nothing to hold against us. Thank you for your gentleness and your love, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, help us through your Holy Spirit to learn to hear your voice speaking to us every day. As we read the Bible, the scriptures, your word to us, help us to hear your voice speaking to us through it. Help us to see what is relevant and important for us in that moment that we can respond to. Help us to hear your voice in our hearts, in our minds, through a picture, a vision, a dream, a word, an impression, that we might hear you speaking to us day by day by day. And in hearing you, respond to you, discovering your rest and entering into that rest rather than trying to work out everything for ourselves. And above all, Lord Jesus, help us to know deeply and powerfully that our identity is children of your Heavenly Father, God, who follow our Good Shepherd. So let us hear your voice calling us to come, and let us see your finger beckoning us on into all that you have for us. In your precious name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this 633 Discipleship podcast. Please check back soon to see other content on the website or on Facebook or on Twitter. God bless.